We pick up where we left off in the 97th verse. Psalm 119, 97. Hey, why are you turning there? I want to invite you to do something. And I have no way of knowing if you do or you don't do. I want to invite you to do something. Even though lately I haven't seen you that much, I've continued to teach you every single day, except Saturday, if you go online and watch it, or if you go online and listen to it. I am keeping it 20 minutes, well, average 22 minutes. 22 minutes, one chapter a day, every day of the week except Saturday. Just for the record, I'm not trying to grow the biggest following online. I really don't care about that. I certainly want to teach the word to as many as will receive it. But you, my brothers and sisters, to whom God has given me the burden, oversight, I wanted you to learn the word. I want to just go through it with you. So I hope you don't just do, I'm so glad you do Wednesday nights. Here's the deal. I know there's a whole bunch of people who actually do, I don't know who they are, but I know they watch and they go through the study every single day. And those who do that by video also watch our Wednesday night services. But not everybody who comes to church on Wednesday night goes along with a study Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Just thought I'd put it out there. When we, there was at one point, we had some 30,000 followers when we were doing Facebook Live. We abandoned Facebook, and I don't really care about this is a weird time where everybody wants to grow their following. I don't care about that. I just want you to know the Bible. And we can go through this together. So we're back to, you know, just Vimeo. You can access that through our church website. It's really simple. So take 20 or so minutes out of your day if you can, and you can do it any time of day, and go through a chapter with us. Be good for you. As we've continued this journey through Psalm 119, the psalm, longest of all the chapters in the whole Bible, and the longest of all the psalms, is the psalm about the word. It's a psalm about the scriptures and their power. All of these sections laid out in alphabetical order, we are in the section Mem. Beginning of verse 97, going to verse 104. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies. They are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. All right, let's look at this section. The expression of love is repeated in this section, as it is really through the whole of Psalm 119 with regard to God's law. Oh, how I love thy law. It's my meditation. All right, so look, you guys all know we're going to meditate. Our brains never shut down. They're always chewing on something. We have promises from God's word to those who will meditate on it. They'll benefit from it. They'll receive from it. As I have often said, we're not designed to eat like pelicans or alligators, just swallowing. We're designed to chew and savor, chew and extract. The psalmist here says, your law is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they're ever with me. All right, so let's talk about what is wisdom once again. What is wisdom? I keep coming back to this. Wisdom, I maintain wisdom is an agreement with God, seeing it God's way, agreeing with him. Foolishness is daring to presumptuously disagree with God and think you're right. That's foolishness. Wisdom is agreeing with God. Foolishness is thinking we're smarter than God. But there's nothing so stupid as that. No? Wiser through your commandments. You made me wiser than my enemies. Now here's the reality. We, just like the psalmist, we got enemies. I still maintain the psalmist was David. We have enemies even as he had enemies. And he says about his enemies, they're ever with me. And don't we all know from our own experience the relentless nature of the spiritual war that we're in and the tempter and accuser that is against us? Don't we? Don't we know about this? Tempter and accuser who never quits. The book of Revelation speaks of Satan, the accuser of the brethren, who accuses us before God day and night. It's like he never stops. He didn't take the night off. He didn't take the day off. He never quits. We have enemies that want us either destroyed, or at least if they can't destroy us, they want to diminish us. If they cannot destroy us, they'd be quite happy just to diminish what we could accomplish or the fullness of life that we could actually experience. But God's commandments, the psalmist says, it made me wiser than my enemies. Well, see, here's the deal. My enemies all have an ongoing disagreement with God. So they're not real wise. Wisdom is on the side of truth. Second verse, in verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Wisdom and understanding, they go together. They're like it's like a couple. And you see them, they appear all the way through the poetic scripture, Proverbs and Psalms. A wisdom and understanding, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Well, isn't that a comfort to know that you're not limited by your teacher? You're not limited. You and I are not limited just to those who have taught us. We have the capacity to even go beyond where they've gone, to excel past. You know that? I often, on that one, I think of experiences that I've been blessed to have. Well, you know, at first it was my old grandma. My mother's mother, she was a nice, sweet Christian lady. She loved the Lord all of her life, but nobody discipled her. She lacked biblical knowledge, and so she was kind of a sucker for everybody that came on TV. And I remember, well, I was still young, starting to go past her in understanding, just through study, to where it came around. Grammy would be asking me questions. That day would come when I'm a pastor, and you know, Grammy would look to me. My grandma, good old Grammy. I had the other experience with one of my teachers who he blessed me. In fact, the first time I went through a book of the Bible with anybody, it was when my old friend Jack Smart, he was fresh out of Bible college and took his first job at Teen Challenge Training Center. I was 17-year-old, hungry for the word. I was so excited to get in those lecture classes. And for whatever reason, he was assigned to go through the book of Ephesians with us. First time I ever went through a book of the Bible. I my mind was blown. I was set on a course by that class. Many years later, in my 40s, he was still there. He had moved up through the ranks, and it was the director and invited me to come reunite with the institution and come and speak there to the students. In fact, I did it every year for a good decade when he was still there. That man, to have him sit in and listen was such a blessing, such an honor. Not intimidating at all. I wanted him to know that he set me on a course as a young man teaching. But it was his testimony to me. I said, man, you set me on a course. You were one of the people that God used. And my old friend Jack Smart said, you have gone way beyond where I am and where I've been in insight that God has given you. Where'd it come from? Well, they there taught me to meditate upon the word. Meditate upon it. That is the ticket. We're not limited to even, our teachers can give us a good boost. But we can go further. You can surpass what your teacher is instructing you. Just chew on it. Chew on it and seek the Lord on his word, and he'll show you things. He said in verse 100, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. Listen, you want to understand, you got to keep it. You got to hold on to it. You've got to apply it. Understanding won't come from just merely hearing it. You got to keep it. I understand because I keep. We practically come to understand the wisdom of God through the application of it and see it proved out true. You understand what I'm saying? We see it and we become more and more convinced of it as we do it. We mess ourselves up when we fail to do it, when we stray from the word. We mentally handicap ourselves. It's true. I read again Psalm 100. I understand more because I keep thy precepts. I've refrained my feet. Well, think about that one, the verse refrained. I've refrained my feet from every evil way. That is, my feet would like to go in some evil ways, and I've refrained them. I've had to pull them back. I've had to say, no feet. We ain't going down that path. From every evil way that I might keep your word. I just want to keep it. I've not departed from your judgments, for thou hast taught me. I've not departed, for you've taught me. Your instructions kept me. How sweet are thy words to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Oh, sweetness. Listen, perspective is everything. Listen, you guys, perspective is everything. What the psalmist says he loves and was sweeter than honey to his mouth, the same psalmist was confronted by Nathan the prophet after he committed adultery and murdered to cover it up. And the question from God through the prophet was, why have you hated my commands? That David, who spent his lifetime loving God's law, spent a season hating it. And I guarantee you, we've all had a moment, if not a season, where what is under normal circumstances sweet, sweeter than honey, is bitter. It stings, hurts our feelings, and isn't as pleasant, reproving us. It's all a matter of perspective. When our hearts are in the right place, sweeter than honey to my mouth. In verse 104, through thy precepts I get understanding. So where does it come from? From your teachings I get understanding. There's no other way to get it. God is the only one who offers wisdom. He's the only one that really offers understanding. He's the only one. It's through his word. You can go to college and buy some knowledge, but knowledge doesn't equal understanding. And listen, he says, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate. Do you recognize that hate is a family value? That if you in fact love, you will hate. If you love, you'll hate. If you love, you'll hate anything that threatens the object of your love, anything that would rival the object of your love. If you love, you'll hate. And the psalmist says, therefore I hate. Why? Because I love. I love thy law, verse 97. Verse 104, I hate every false way. I love thy law, I hate every false way. I love and I hate. The next section, none, beginning in verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I'm afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Except I beseech thee the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I err not from thy precepts, thy testimonies. Have I taken as an heritage forever? They are the rejoicing of my heart. I've inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. About that 105 verse, thy words are a lamp unto my feet. You understand the implication is, apart from that lamp, we're in darkness, just trying to feel our way along. Surely you've had that experience. That is not cool. I hate that. I don't care if it's a dark room. I'm grateful. You know what? Since the invention of the cell phone, you got a little lamp that I use it in hotels. Wake up in the middle of the night, I don't know where I am. And I go, okay, I can take the next step, not trip on something. Have you ever done a trail? A couple times, teen camp. I don't know if anybody's here that ever had that experience. It was only the guys. We'd take the guys up on a mountaintop, high school teen camp. We'd do like an all-nighting vigil up on a mountain. And at least at one point on the trail, with all of our headlamps and flashlights, send the message all the way down the line of young men. Everybody turn your light off. Turn your light off. Let's try this without our light. That is utterly ridiculous. It is pointless. And especially if your eyes have been adjusted to looking at your light. And even, you know, on those dark nights, in the trees, inside the forest, you don't see anything. You're just feeling your way. Do you remember when life was like that? And you're just doing your best guess? Lamp to my feet. Illuminating my next step. No, God is not necessarily going to tell me every choice to make, every job to take. No, but he will guide us in the application of wisdom by his word so that we can know what to do and where to go. And we can apply those things and make choices. You know, I remember when I was a teen, somebody told me, words a lamp to my feet. That's exactly what's illumined. My next step is not massive headlights that shine way down the road, like I wish I had. Don't you wish you had those? I get little glimpses that, you know, God, you know, through prophecy, has shown me some stuff up ahead. But it's like all kinds of dark spots between here and there. You know what I'm talking about? When you want to look away and you want to know what's going to happen, what's the year, what's ahead, what do we have illumined for us is the next step to take. Verse 106, I've sworn, I will perform it. I'll keep thy righteous judgments. I'm going to keep them. I'm going to keep them. I'm not going to let them be stolen from me. Remember how the birds in the parable of the sower come along and steal the word? It doesn't produce anything. I'm going to let it happen. I will keep it. Verse 107, I'm afflicted very much. Quicken me. Can you relate to that? I'm afflicted. I am afflicted very much. God, you're the one that can infuse me with life. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. You make me live. Except I beseech thee in 108, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. Except my offerings, teach me your judgments. You understand that two-way communication? Except the offering, freewill offering of my mouth. Please hear me while I hear you. Verse 109, my soul is continually in my hand. That's, my life is in my hand. I'm in danger all the time. I'm taking my life into my hands. It's literally a good translation. Yet I do not forget thy law. I'm not going to. The wicked have laid a snare for me. Charles Spurgeon spoke of the hunter's practice to lay a snare on the path. The hunter studies the path that is taken by his prey. The deer run, that's where you put your tree stand, where you see their traffic. And so it is with our enemy. You know, in the routine, we're studied, and traps are set for us. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from my precepts. And the testimonies in verse 111, I have taken as an heritage. You know what I like doing? I like using my 1826 edition of Webster's Dictionary, 1828 edition of Webster's Dictionary, and looking up these words. Came up on heritage today in my study. And when I did, I had to look it up. Heritage. Heritage, an inheritance, an estate that passes from an ancestor to an heir by descent or course of law, that which is inherited. That's your heritage. You understand? Us adopted children of God have a heritage. We have an inheritance, most of which we haven't actually come into. But the part that we have here and now are his testimonies. What he says, what God testifies on every matter. The psalmist said, I've taken your testimonies as my inheritance, and they are the rejoicing of my heart. 112, I've inclined mine heart to perform, to actually do, to actually perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. Are we like him? Are we committed for the whole of life, all the way to the end? There is an end. Oh, you guys, think about it, the end. See, the end is actually the beginning for us. The end of school is the end of this mortal life. It ends either at rapture, mass evacuation, or it ends in our physical death. But I long for the end. But I'm committed to hanging on to something, committed to doing his statutes even to the end. For the one who said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end. Beginning of verse 113, Samech, this section. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me and according unto thy word, that I may live. Let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. And I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies, and my flesh trembles for fear of thee. I'm afraid of thy judgments. Again, the word hate goes together with love. The word hate begins this section. It is the verb that starts the whole section. I hate vain thoughts. I hate them most when I have them. Don't you? I hate vain thoughts, but I love thy law. Hate and love belong together. I hate vain thoughts. I love law. I hate it when I'm stupid. I love it when I act on your wisdom of your word. I still maintain David, the warrior is the author. And it blesses me more when the warrior speaks about a hiding place. You are my hiding place. My hiding place and my shield. So both when I am in need of being covered and in secret, and when I'm out in the battle, in the middle of battle, I need a shield. You are that for me, Lord. I hope in thy word. I would remind you, in that context, hiding place and shield, that the Apostle Paul tells us in the New Testament to put on the whole armor of God and every piece of that armor that he speaks of for a spiritual war that we're called to. All of it is to protect us, to hide us, to shield us from, you know, the fiery darts of the wicked one. There's only one weapon given, only one weapon offered, because it's so sufficient that we only need one, don't need another one. And it happens to be the sword of the Spirit. In this very context, where he says, you're my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Remember the armor of God. And remember, we've got one weapon. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. His prayer, depart from me, you evildoers. You know what? If you walk with the wise, you'll be wise. But a companion of fools suffers. Can you consider for just a second that there's a dual reality that we have to apply in our lives? So on one hand, we're commanded to come out from among them, be separate, says the Lord. That was the commission that God gave to Israel. But it was repeated in the New Testament, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Right? At the same time, go ye into all the world and make disciples of all nations, to come out from among them and to go ye into all the world. A lot of people like to go, hey, the Lord hung out with publicans. He didn't hang out. He was there working. He was there calling them to repentance. He was being the sin doctor. He was working. He wasn't hanging. Depart from me, you evildoers. That's what you need to say. Everybody wants you to get high with them. Everybody wants you to, you know, just come on, man. You used to be fun. Depart from me, you evildoers. That's your word. Quote that one. Make that your life verse. Put that on a plaque. Depart from me, you evildoers. You evildoers, get gone. For I will keep the commandments of my God. And truthfully, if you just go, I'm going to keep the commandments of my God, the evildoers will depart. They'll get tired of you. You're no fun. Uphold me, verse 116. Uphold me. Don't let me down. According to thy word, that I may live and not be ashamed of my hope. God, I need you to uphold me according to thy word. Uphold. Come on, you guys understand that one. You have any memories of being so little and so helpless that you need someone stronger to grab you? Keep you from sinking. You know, the psalmist expresses that sentiment to God. Hold thou me up, and I shall be saved. If you don't hold me up, I shall not. I will crumble. Do any of you remember them little toys? These little characters sitting on a platform. There was a button underneath. And the whole character was a bunch of little links all held together with a band. And you'd push the thumb button, remember those? Give it a bunch of slack, and then let go of that, and it would spring back up again. Verse 117. I'm telling you, that's me. Oh, man, so pitifully helpless. If the Lord doesn't hold me up, just crumble like I have no skeleton. Like, you've seen your kids do that when you're little? You say no, no, and they collapse. As if their skeleton just disintegrated, they became an invertebrate. My daughter used to do it in dramatic fashion. And I would often just say no, just to see it happen. Can I? No. Cute. That's cute. Get back up and pitch a fit and do a dance, just so I can say no. You know, I've seen my granddaughter do that. Only she does it way more intensely than Jess. Jess was like, just kind of go limp. Scout stiffens up and boom, and you hear it impact. She'll impact her head on the hardwood. She's committed. She's this more stubborn, far more fervent collapser. I'll have respect in thy statue. Hold me up, Lord. And thou hast trodden down all them that err. So it is the reality here the psalmist observes that there is this form of judgment in a world, in a universe where what you sow, you reap. He's made some observations and says, thou hast trodden down all them that err from my statutes. I've seen what happens to them, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. He's observed some things, like dross. You understand how that works? That molten metal, like silver or gold, is just brought to a liquid state so that all the nasty stuff that really isn't part of that metal can float to the top and be skimmed off. That's the dross, that's the trash. And it's separated by heat. And he's saying, I have observed the skimming of the dross. And he says here, thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth. It's the observing of all of that that makes you go, oh God, this is serious business. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee. I'm afraid of thy judgments in a good and healthy way. That is after seeing how the wicked are dealt with. The next section, beginning in verse 121, Ayin. I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. I hate every false way. Verse 121, reminding God, even as Job did in Job chapter 29, Don't let me be disappointed, God. I've put my trust. I've done my best. I'm doing your judgment and justice. I'm seeking to live what is right. Don't leave me in the hands of my oppressors. All right, you guys, listen, we have oppressors. You and me, we got them. Our prayer should be likewise. God, don't let them have their way. Don't let me be disappointed. Be my guarantee, verse 122. Be my guarantee for good. You are my guarantee, you personally. Let not the proud oppress me. You understand verse 123, mine eyes fail for thy salvation. That is, I'm just straining, looking for you to come. I'm looking for you to come. Lord, I'm looking and I'm longing. I'm counting on you. That's the expression. I'm looking off into the distance, looking for you to come riding in and rescue me. And for the word of thy righteousness, the word of thy righteousness, in verse 124, deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy. So again, don't misunderstand verse 121. Look, I've done judgment and justice. He's certainly not saying merit is the basis of his appeal. That's why verse 124, deal with your servant according to thy mercy. Don't give me what I deserve, but be merciful. Teach me thy statutes. Deal with me according to your mercy and teach me. I am thy servant, verse 125. I am your slave. Give me understanding. Do you understand? It was the duty of the master to equip the slave to do the thing that the master's sending the slave to do. The master is responsible for the training, for the teaching. Luke, the physician, for example, in the ancient world, a physician was not a high esteemed, highly paid guy who made a massive investment, and now he's looking for a return on his investment in his education. In the ancient world, slave would be sent away to be trained in medicine so that he could come back and serve that house of which he belonged. Luke, the physician, was such a physician and had apparently won his freedom, had been granted his freedom, and was free to attend the Apostle Paul. You understand the statement, I'm your slave. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. You're my master. I want to serve you. You got to teach me. So I can. Verse 126, it's time for thee. Oh, it's time for thee, Lord, to work, for they've made void thy law. They've broken it. They're offending you. It is time for thee, O Lord, to work. For they, not me, they have made void thy law. And therefore I love. I want to make sure you see again in verse 127 and 128, love and hate go together. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. I'm going to chase after that instead of money. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. I love, therefore I hate. The next section beginning on Psalm 129, verse 129, pay. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted. I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of water run down my eyes, because they keep not thy law. Testimonies are wonderful. What you say about life, full of wonder, wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. See, that's wisdom. I agree with them. So I want to hold on to them. The entrance of thy words giveth light. And come on, you can certainly, you have your own testimony of how you once were in the darkness and the word of God was coming in, and with every new revelation, more light. And it's like a way that grows brighter as we go. Every new thing we learn adds to what we've already gained, and there's a brightness. It increases. This reality, the entrance of thy words giveth light. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. This is the weird thing about this. I am grateful for the revelation from God of how profoundly stupid I was. It seems like it takes just a certain amount of wisdom to know you're stupid. And I got blessed with it. When I was young and I came upon, wow, wisdom and understanding. These are the cool things. These are the things we ought to be going after. I was never a kid that hated learning. I just hated school. And if the subject was interesting, I could consume it. I could ace the class. I longed for someone to instruct me, prayed for that. But I had this, I had an experience when I was 16. I was hearing so much preaching about prophecy and the coming of the Lord. And I'm telling you, at that time, 1978, 79, it's like, it's gonna happen any second. I'm not gonna have time to grow up. I really did. Did you guys with me on that? Edmund, you remember? Like this, I don't have time to grow up. And I'm not gonna get to serve the Lord if I don't do it now. That was part of my impetus in quitting school my sophomore year. And then I found myself unemployed with no teacher. Weird. I found myself on downtown Bangor going, well, okay, going to serve the Lord, going to set the world on fire. I don't even have a match. It was January and February, very first part of 1979. I went, wow, it was this shocking discovery for me. I'm simple. I'm like, I got all kinds of blanks to fill in. It was a panic. I actually had a really, it was the most panicky sort of experience for me. I wasn't really emotional. I was like, I remember having heavy breathing. I'm like, oh my gosh, what have I done? But it did drive me to desperate prayer. I said, Lord, I want to learn. I want to learn. Help me out here. And the Lord did. He connected me. He led me. He blessed me with teachers. You know what they did? They poured in a word of God. I'm so grateful for them. The entrance of thy words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I often think back to that scary moment of discovery. I don't know anything. Oh, that was a good, that was the Lord. Thank the Lord for him. I didn't even have a driver's license. When I quit school, driver's ed was part of school and it ended. I didn't even finish that. Like, oh my goodness. I'm gonna ride the bus the rest of my life. I'm riding the city bus, picking up coins. Yeah, it was a just terrible moment. I don't know. I gotta quit school and just go preaching. Preach? Preach what? I don't know nothing. Anyway, if any of you had that, I've actually seen and I've witnessed a few times guys who have done a bunch of drugs. Which is weird. Most everybody that's burned out don't know they're burned out. They're like, what are you talking about? But every now and then, you've witnessed somebody have the experience where they realize, oh my, I've done damage to my brain. And then they really get depressed. You know, it makes you want to go do more damage. I've seen it. I've witnessed guys go, oh, and the horrible discovery. And I remember just a few guys that once they discovered that, cried out to the Lord, cried out and seriously dove into this book, seriously believed the promises of God's renewing their mind. I've seen it happen. I've seen their minds renewed. I've seen stuff, you guys. What this book will do to the simple. I have seen the dumbest, most self-destructive goofball. Gloriously changed into leaders that people will follow. Building houses that don't fall on rock. I've seen what this book will do for the simple. I've seen it. You guys, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, ye simple, wherever you are. They're usually down here. Oh, ye simple. I was like, why'd you look at me when you said that? I wasn't looking at you, I'm just looking around, okay? What this word will do, it gives light, it gives understanding to the simple. It is the only thing, the scientists will tell you, once you've wiped out all these brain cells, you're not gonna get any new ones. Last week, there was a profound story in the Epoch Times about a British couple who refused to abort their little baby. The doctors told them, the baby's only got 2% of a brain. It's got no chance. Abort this baby. They refused. That baby developed 80% more brain after it was born, before he was 3 years old. The little guy's playing piano now. He's got his challenges, sure. He's still way ahead of a lot of people I know. They tell you, you can't. They act like they know stuff. Once those brain cells are gone, you can't get any more. You're just wiping them out. This, God's word, is able to make whatever fraction of brain you got left, work better than all the rest of it when it was all intact. God's word is able to renew the mind. It does things that nobody can understand because this is a spiritual reality. It's not merely physical or physiological. It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth and panted. I longed for thy commandments. All right, you guys ever done this? When I was younger and in shape, really athletic, I used to go run Mount Katahdin. Used to, in my 20s. I used to run Katahdin. I would do it with no water, just some kind of weird stamina test. And it come all the way up, you know, I go up like Katahdin Stream, come all the way down Roaring Brook, just to be able to fall into that cold water and drink it. I realize they tell you you shouldn't do that because you're going to drink some bacteria and get all messed up. But there's nothing so... You know what it's like to really, really be thirsty and just dive in and face upstream and fill yourself up like a syringe. Does that paint a picture? I don't know, I open my mouth. Or can you picture little baby birds? when that's all they are, is little, they're just mouths with little tiny necks. How do you hold up that head? That's the picture, David. I opened my mouth and panted. I longed for thy commandments. Did you get that picture? Tap on the nest, and there they are. All competing, just mouths. Bunch of little skinny baby birds with giant beaks. Open mouth, longing, panted. Look thou upon me, verse 132. Be merciful to me. See, that's the theme all the way through the scriptures, but especially the psalm. Look at me, be merciful unto me, like you do, like you are unto those that love thy name. Like you're prone to, Lord. Order my steps in thy word. You understand that? The steps of the righteous. Remember Psalm 37? The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. You discover that you surrender your life and you discover that he set you up. And I'm serious. When you get the older you get, the more you look back, you go, wow. Oh, there was lots of setups along the way. Order my steps in thy word. Let not iniquity have dominion over me. So you see, the psalmist acknowledges that potential. The psalmist acknowledges that iniquity can have dominion. I can be overcome with it. Please, his prayer is, order my steps in thy word. Let it be the primary influence where I go and where I step. Deliver me from the oppression of man. So will I keep thy precepts. Rescue me. You understand, 135, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. What, you understand that prayer? Oh God, please. It's your favor, your face, your approval. Make your face shine upon me. Teach me thy statutes. You understand that blessing that God commanded the priests to give in Numbers, right? The Lord bless thee, Lord keep thee, Lord make his face shine upon thee. Verse 136, rivers of water run down my eyes because they keep not thy law. Surely you find yourself at times overcome with the sorrow of those that you love who are not, who have abandoned his word, and they're ripping themselves off, and they're suffering because of it. And your country, whole culture, it is sad. Zeddi, beginning in 137. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I'm small and despised, yet do not I. Forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. It giveth me understanding, and I shall live. Yes, I shall live. I like how it ends. You can agree with the sentiment, can you not, from verse 137? You're right, God, you're right and you're righteous, and so are your judgments. What you say is right. Your testimonies you've commanded, they are righteous and very faithful. They just always prove true, all the time. My zeal hath consumed me. It's eaten me up, consumed me, zeal. It's consuming me because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. I bet you guys, I know enough of you to know, there are many of you who can identify with that. It is the forgetting, it is the abandoning of God's word that is so consuming. Can't focus on it too much. It takes its toll on your heart. It consumes. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I have good reason for loving your word. I'm small and despised. I ain't much, but I do not forget thy precepts. I may not be much, but your precepts are. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. Never ends. Thy law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold upon me. You can surely all relate to that, and you've all had your chance, your turn with trouble and anguish caused by the trouble. You know what it's like for them to take hold on you. They will let go. Yet, thy commandments are my delights. Even though this reality is true, listen, don't allow trouble and anguish to take hold on you and cause you to abandon God and his word because you're in trouble. Don't ever give up what you do know for what stuff you don't know. The psalmist says, it's a reality, trouble and anguish have taken hold on me. I must delight in your commandments. They are my delight. I'm not tapping out, I'm not gonna let go of them. I don't use a whole lot of football analogies. I'm not a football guy, but you do understand. The guy who gets that ball in that game, half of the people on that field want to destroy him. But if they can, rather than tackle him, they'd like to strip that ball out of his hands. Possession of that thing is everything in that game, right? So please think that way when you hear the word keep. Keep them. Righteousness, everlasting. The righteousness of your testimonies. You give me understanding, and I will live. Without that understanding, I'm going to die. Without that understanding, I'm doomed. But you give me understanding, and I will live. I'll live. Well, come on back up here, band. We're at a good stopping point. We won't start. We'll finish this, the Lord willing. These last four sections in our next Wednesday evening study together. And listen, I hope you guys will make an adjustment to your daily schedule. If you can, capitalize on drive time. A lot of you guys got a 20-minute drive. You could do 20 minutes a chapter through the scriptures. Still going through the book of Numbers. You can start anywhere.